I'm here to present data-based equipment operating training. I hope your takeaway today is there's lots of information available to us. I mean, most new equipment have health modules on it, and that there's an opportunity for us to take that data and take some action on the data to improve operator performance, which in turn, you know, improves productivity or lower costs. What we'll cover today is a review a little bit of my experience in different styles of training and the evolution of training that has been driven by a need to increase retention of the material trained and applied into the field. I'll delve into a few elements of utilizing big data in training, using adult principles in delivering training, following up on training to influence behavior in the field, and finally to share some of our results that we have seen through training. Coal companies' profits has been hammered by falling prices and paired with rising production costs. Not surprisingly, a lot of mine organizations are doing a continuous improvement agenda to increase productivity and control costs. I want to share with you how our trainers have utilized data generated both from CAT MineStar and from Immersive Technology Symmetrics to influence our training. Over my career, I've seen three different styles of training. You know, back in the 80s, it was really MSHA 5023 focused. You know, we wanted to get the person to meet the minimum requirements. We didn't spend too much time in the training. In the 90s, we moved towards a more standardized approach. We wanted every operator to know every hazard and everything about the machine. The outcome of that style of training for us was information overload for the employees and poor retention and thus poor application of the training materials in the field. And then I believe in the 2010 period with the purchase of the Immersive Technology Pro 3 and you know, applying adult learning, I believe we've really refined training to where the materials is retained and applied into the field. I want to just share a little bit about the three forms of training, my experience with it. Back in the mid-80s, I was trained on a CH-150 belly dump coal hauler. The purpose of my training was to get me a 5023 and to get one more body into the coal haul, you know. We wanted to haul some coal. My training comprised of watching a video. You know, they showed you the cab controls and a few of the gauges. And then I had a safety department person take me out in the field and do a ride-along for about an hour. That person that took me out for the ride-along wasn't a truck driver, wasn't a subject matter expert. It was a trainer, you know, from the safety department. Well, I had a few lessons learned the next week. I learned that you ought to release the park brake before you take off, or else there'll be a set of tracks following you down into the pit. And I learned to slow down before going down a 6% ramp, or else you might be out of control when you try to make the corner at the bottom. I learned to empty my load before I took off the hopper, or else a windrow of coal will follow you down the pit. And I learned when you're spotting up to get a load to be within reach of the shovel, or the shovel operator might announce to the whole mine on the radio that you're an idiot. Now, well, I'm telling you, these memories are pretty vivid. I think everybody can recognize that the training was inadequate. The thing that's disappointing to me today, even in our own company, I mean, we're all across the United States, you know, in construction projects, that we still don't adequately train in all cases to where a person can be both safe and productive. And it really makes you wonder why, when you know that you can improve productivity, that you can improve, you know, safety, why doesn't everybody dedicate enough time to training? The second module of training was standardized training, and we have a person in the audience here that this story goes to. In the mid 90s, we had a great success story. We wanted to hire 15 temporary workers. We had 90 days to move a topsoil pile, get them trained up, move the topsoil pile at one of our mines. So we picked three operators, which we thought would do a good job of training. And these three operators trained these 15 guys, and we moved the pile. And it was a great success story. There was no safety incidences. There's no equipment damages. And we actually exceeded our production rate. So we had a great idea. Let's take these three operators and let's have them build a standardized training plan, and we'll train all operators, and then we'll be better. So these three operators came into the office, and 6 months later, and you got to remember, the initial training, we hired 15 guys, trained them, and moved the dirt in 90 days, but 6 months later, we had our first book. And over the next 20 years, we added to that book. And we added. By 2010, our book was 3 inches thick, 280 pages long, supported by 4 hours of death by PowerPoint presentations. At that time, we estimated that the average trainee was retaining about 10% of the information that we were delivering to them. And we were having incidents, you know. We'd have incidents after incidents. We finally realized that we were focusing on the trivial many rather than the vital few things that you need to get across to the guys. Warning signs were apparent, and I'd like to share with you some of the warning signs that we would see. One of them was, how do you go backwards? The red one, maybe? One of the warning signs is, that's the first time I've heard of that. I mean, we've all kind of crossed out, you know. And our response is, wait a minute, let's go to the training manual. And yeah, on day three, you know, in hour six, we covered that material. Another warning sign of poor retention is constant retraining, you know. Hey, guys, we lost a transmission last night. Let's review how to prevent a transmission abuse. Another warning sign is acceptance of results that are less than world class, you know. Hey, I know we're getting some transmission abuses, but transmission's life are meeting our target, you know. Might not be world class, but meeting our target. Or I've heard the excuse, yeah, I know we're getting 40 overspeeds a month, but hell, that's only one per truck per month. That's not bad. My final example of a training warning sign is, hey, that's not our fault, you know. Transmission or engine didn't meet its expected life, let's file a warranty claim, you know. I mean, all these things just indicate poor retention, poor application of what is learned in the field. Today, the targeted approach to training, I think, is getting the retention that we're looking for. Data come from two main sources for us. It comes from the simulator data, as Mike was talking about, and it comes from onboard machine data, in our case through MineStar. We use the data to set training objectives, to measure performance, and also to measure the effectiveness of the training. Outcomes from the targeted training approach is, in our case, we have reduced operator-induced errors by 73%. And we were able to accomplish that in less than a three-month period, and we have been able to maintain that over a four-year period. And another outcome of doing the target approach is that the training time is reduced. As Mike was talking, you know, you measure if the people have the concept captured yet. Once they capture the information, are able to be proficient, you can move on to the next topic. I'm going to delve into the type of data that we use. Most mining equipment today is manufactured, has some form of onboard health historian. In my example, we're using Caterpillar MineStar. We use both the fleet management system and the health module. On each of our CAT trucks, there are hundreds of sensors. They report back data on temperature, pressure, GPS position, speed, travel direction, gear selection, throttle position, engine RPM, flow rates, to name a few. This information is stored, analyzed, and reported upon. Two common reports that we get are production reporting and exception reporting that we look at every day. Exception reporting enhances early detection of operator or equipment issues, and that allows the miner to address those issues. Some common exceptions that we look at from the training department side is engine overspeeds, transmission abuse, body up ground speed, brake temperature, and tire temperatures. On the simulator side, it covers most of those topics too. You know, speed, direction, spotting accuracy, you know, are you parallel to your dump? It gives you all that. And then it gives you a few things that you really can't measure out in the field, and that's emergency response, you know, loss of steering, loss of brakes, onboard fire. One of the things that we've really value out of being able to train in the simulator and where we've recouped our value is prior to simulator training, we had fires, and it was very common for an operator to leave the engine on and having fuel, you know, feed the fire. Since we've been able to build this muscle memory into our employees, we have not in the last 4 years had one incident where a person dismounted in a fire situation, leaving the engine running. Immersive technology really helped us put together our training plans for the people. Every person has a preferred style of learning, huh? Some people like learning to be self-paced, some like group discussion and collaborative approach to solving problems. Some people learn best by hands-on doing, like in the simulator. Our training incorporates all this. We use e-learning, we utilize classroom discussions, the hands-on in the simulator, and then we have field follow-up. For the iterative learner like myself, you like to see multiple bits. You like information to come at you in multiple times in small digestible chunks. Our training delivery allows a person to read how to do a task, hear how to perform a task, see how the task is performed by a professional, understand why the task needs to be done that way, practice doing the task, and finally, in that assessment phase, they demonstrate that they have the proficiency to do the task on their own. In the field, people are constantly monitored by MineStar. Taking actions on their exceptions is the single most powerful tool to eliminate operator-induced errors. We train to OEM recommendations, expectations, specifications. Excuse me. And We train to the OEM specifications. We expect the people to follow that after training. The old saying goes that you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. I say horse shit. You know, I'm from Wyoming, and I used to train colts to lead. The trick is you got to give the horse a little consequence. Now, the way I'd do it is I'd put a horse in a corral without any water. If he didn't want to follow me to water, he could go thirsty. I can guarantee you they'll eventually lead you, let you lead them to water, and when they get there, they'll take a drink. I believe that's the trick behind operator training also, is you need to have consequences to the training. Through the assessments, we already know that the operator is proficient on doing that task. If they go to the field and don't perform the task that way, we have an issue. And I believe it can be taken by consequences. In 2012, soon after we did our initial hiring, we noticed a gap between, you know, the number of errors committed in training versus the number of errors committed in the field. Under the training conditions, an operator would operate without errors, but you'd take them to the field and they'd operate in a way that caused errors. We didn't believe that our training needed to be changed. We believed that we needed to change people's behaviors. To close the gap between training and field operations, we introduced three consequences to change the behavior. One, when an error occurs, dispatch will notify the field supervisor. Two, the supervisor would deliver a training contact objectively and respectfully to the truck driver, you know, saying, you did this, this is the right way to do things, you know, don't do again. And three, we advertised our health events on a daily basis. There are three factors that really affect consequences that we think we addressed: soon, certain, and positive. Soon, a consequence that follows soon after event has much more impact than a consequence that follows, you know, days later, weeks later, or at quarterly report card time. In our case, MineStar dispatch would notify the operator immediately, and during that shift, the supervisor would go address the issue with the truck driver. Certain consequence that is certain to follow an event is more powerful than a consequence that may or may not happen. Every time we have an event, supervisor will be notified, and the supervisor will make contact with the truck driver. And three, a consequence that is positive is more powerful than a consequence that is negative. So we train our supervisors to deliver objective, respectful feedback to the truck drivers, and we celebrate our successes on a daily basis. I mean, these are pretty recent ones. Give them a thumbs up on the line out monitor, you know, pre-shift, that we're doing well. Since implementation of MineStar and targeted training, which both occurred at about the same time in late summer of 2011, we have realized a 15% improvement in shovel productivity. We've realized a 21% improvement in payloads on our trucks. And those two together have resulted in a operational cost of mining, a decrease of 5 to 7% for us. I say 5 to 7 for the factors Mike was talking about. There's a lot of other things that go into reducing your cost of mining, huh? Also, operator-induced errors have decreased 97% since 2007, resulting in an annual equipment maintenance saving cost of over $1 million. Well, it's too early to determine how much life we've extended to our components, engines, and transmissions. I can tell you that we have ratcheted up our expectations of how long those components should last, and our warranty claims are down on premature failures of those two components. During these last few minutes, I've shared results from one mine that has used big data to drive training and the results with it. But we've taken this training across North America. We've taken it to Utah, Idaho. We've taken it to the oil sands. We've taken it down into Texas. And we've taken it to Australia in the Pilbara in an iron ore mine. And we've had similar results at all the mines. The systems and the practices are proven to be successful, both across countries and across cultures. And I think what it really says is that targeted training, using adult learning principles, using data, will get you results. I'll be in attendance the rest of the week, and I'd enjoy talking to you about how to break a colt or mining or training or whatever. Any questions? Well, I got one question. You know, what is the impact of management commitment to training? I mean, as both Mike and I talked about, we've involved maintenance, the training department, in my case, HR, and production, right? To bring all those groups together and work towards one common solution, I think you have to have the highest commitment and the highest involvement of your management team. Thank you. Okay. Thanks, Steve.